pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
This is the Jeff Poor Show, but I'm not Jeff Poor. Clearly, I'm Erica Thomas, editor-at-large with 1819 News, filling in for the boss man today, so no pressure there. Jeff, we miss you. He is on the way back from his world tour of baseball, his vacation, Father of the Year, Jeff Poor, with his son. If y'all haven't checked out his photos on his Facebook page, go check them out. It's amazing what he's been doing. He's been traveling everywhere, and he posts maps of where all they've gone. It's just incredible. I'm so happy to be here on this Tuesday morning. We have a great show lined up today. I've got some guests to help me get through this. Guys, I'm so sorry you have to listen to me talk for 3 hours. I have no idea what I'm doing, but we're going to wing it, and we're going to make it work. First, with us today, we have Judy Barlow. A lot of people will probably recognize that name. She is an incredible woman from Baldwin County, and she is also the fourth vice president of the Federation of Republican Women. Welcome in, Judy.
Thank you. I'm enjoying being here this morning with you.
That's awesome. I knew when I was asked to do this, Jeff Poor asked me, he said, hey, can you fill in on August 4th? And I said, are you joking? Like, are you joking? I really thought he was kidding with me. And he said, no. That's all he said. Nope. I said, okay. So I knew when I went to do the show, I was like, I got to get some folks I really know, you know, to help me get through this. And Judy, you were the first one that I reached out to. We've been all over together. We've done a lot of events together. We actually were together on election night, which was something I'll never forget as long as I live.
That was an amazing experience, yes.
It really was. My feet said otherwise. We were standing up for hours. We were up till 3 in the morning in West Palm Beach, where President Donald Trump was waiting to hear the results of that election. And then when the news came through that he won, that you could feel in the room just the support and all the excitement.
You could, and we were getting feedback all through the night from the team upstairs on what was happening and what we were waiting on, and the results by state that we were waiting on. So when the results finally came in, the room just erupted as we saw all the results rolling in.
That's right. And I'm sure since then you've continued to follow the Trump administration, kind of things that are going on, because now that you're with the National Federation of Republican Women, you really have a front seat to this stuff. Can you kind of go through, tell people what this National Federation of Republican Women is and what you've been up to?
Would love to. What we do is we are the longest running all-women grassroots political organization in the United States. And it started back in 1938 when we were formed after the Republicans were soundly defeated in 1936 by Roosevelt. And the Republican Party looked around and they said, hey, we've got to do something. We've got to make some changes. The women were starting to get engaged then, and they are a huge voting bloc that we need to be focused on. So they thought, you know what, we're going to bring a strong female in that can lead an organization, that we can unify the Republican women voters across the nation, and that's how we were born. And Marion Martin was the first founder that they brought in, and one of the things that she said, after the loss to Roosevelt, she said, women must be ready to battle for the recovery of their nation, the security and safety of their homes, and the safeguarding of their political and economic freedom. And that is so true still today. After we just came off the Biden presidency and the disastrous policies or non-policies that they had, the deep state, the auto pen, after all of that, we are finally making some progress. And it's important to us as we try to take care of our families and our children in this day and time to come together and to unify and to elect officials that we know are going to vote for our families.
Yeah, and you know, women's part in politics is really growing, I think, over the years. When I first got into the news business, early 2000s, I thought politics was boring. I'm not even kidding. Then I worked for a year in Montgomery, and I realized, guys, this is like the Real Housewives of Montgomery down there, you know, or house husbands. But now we're starting to see a lot of women get involved, and I think it's really made a lot of difference, not only for policy issues, things that we really care about. You know, women care about safety at home. We care about schools, things that really, really matter. And so with a woman's voice in Montgomery or Washington, wherever that might be, it's very important. Some of the policies that have come out, even the marijuana policies, things like that, we're looking at this stuff just in a different way. And I think that's really important. And so you've been just on the front lines of this. I mean, you're a huge deal. You know, it's like the Ron Burgundy.
Well, thank you. We look at things a little bit differently. We look at it with common sense. We have the pocketbook in our hands. We have the checkbook in our hands. So we look at what matters to our families, the economy. We look at food safety. We look at all different kinds of things that affect our family, what's affecting our communities, what are the statewide issues, and then what are the national issues. And as we work across the national spectrum and bring it back down to home, that's where it matters. When we're looking at legislation that affects us from the national level down to the state level, down to our community levels.
What is some of the major issues that y'all are looking at right now?
Well, obviously, the Save America Act, when we're looking at voting, when we're looking at U.S. citizens voting versus opening it up to everybody voting, that's really important. There are a lot of issues that affect our families, and we have a whole group that's dedicated to that in the National Federation of Republican Women. And right now, we are focused on getting out the vote. We have elections coming up in November. Those are the midterm elections. And traditionally, the sitting president's party does not win those midterm elections. So we need to make sure that the Republicans win those elections. We have got to continue on the America First policies that we voted in when we voted in President Trump, and we won the House, and we won the Senate. When we look at what's coming up in 2028, we know the socialist, the Democrat socialist agenda. We know what's coming, who it is. AOC, Pete Buttigieg are the leaders right now in the polling for that race. So that should give you pause for thought when you think about what's coming up and what we as Republican voters, that's the only thing that we're asked to do right now is to get out the vote. And we've got a special election coming up that we need to be focused on. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but
it's
1 week from today. Yes,
definitely don't want to forget about that. Well, let's go ahead and talk about that. This is on August 11th, next Tuesday. We're all going to head out to the polls in Alabama, hopefully, but I'm hearing that voter turnout might not be what we really want.
You know, it's an unusual time, and it's an unusual situation. When our districts were redrawn, we have seven districts, when they were redrawn by the courts to favor minority districts, we fought back on that. We said, no, we're not going to stand for that. That's not right. And we won that recently. But in order to be able to get that time frame in to vote, we had to extend it out to this August 11th. Deadline. So in four districts, 1, 2, 6, and 7, we will be going to the polls on August the 11th to pick our Republican nominee for Congress. And then those nominees will run against the Democrats in November, November 3rd. So it's really, really important that we pick strong Republican candidates on Tuesday. And you can go do absentee ballot voting right now. By the way, that can be done in person through Thursday at your circuit clerk offices. So you can go and vote in person, or you can do absentee ballots. You can hand your absentee ballot in by Monday, or you can vote in person at your precinct.
Yeah, in this election cycle, these particular elections have been very interesting because a lot of the candidates were campaigning for months in a district that they're not even going to be in now.
It has been a costly campaign, and they're worn out, you know, but you still see them out there daily, and you will see them out there up through Tuesday doing fish fries, doing picnics, doing whatever they need to do, doing special meetings to get that information out. So I encourage you, if you're just now listening in and you're thinking, oh, I need to go and vote, we are expecting like 5% turnout.
Ugh.
Now, I do want to mention this. Tabitha Eisner, who is the vice chair of the Democrat Party, is out there publicly encouraging Democrats to come and vote in our election. Now, that's wrong. And we need, as Republicans, we need to exercise our right to vote, and we need to show the Democrats that we mean business. We're glad that the districts were redrawn, and we need to get out the vote on Tuesday and vote for our favorite or the strongest Republican candidate that can win on November the 3rd. And there are endorsements out there. President Trump has endorsements out there. Some of our senators have endorsements out there. So if you're unsure, look for those endorsements. Get as much information as you can and make it an educated decision, but go and vote. It's really important.
Definitely. And of course, all elections are really important, but we want to keep you updated. Also, like I said, I'm the editor at large for 1819 News. For those of y'all that don't know, you can go to 1819news.com. We do have that story on Eisner in her call. We have some reaction to that on 1819news.com, but we also want to hear from you guys. I'm going to plug 1819 News all day, okay? You can email us news@1819news.com. And also, we want to hear from you on this show. So we will, when we come back in just a little bit, we'll give you the text line number because I actually don't know it off the top of my head, but I'll get that for you. Also, we'll talk about some of the accomplishments of the Trump administration thus far. We'll be right back with Judy Barlow.
Lonesome whistle blowing and the youngin's dream of growing up to ride. Get on me, want to know, Hank, why do you drink?
To the Jeff Poor Show. I am Erica Thomas, editor at large with 1819 News, filling in for Jeff Poor, my boss man today, and I'm so happy to be here with you guys. Thank you, Gary, on the text line for sending me the text line number. That is 251-343-0106. So if you guys want to get involved and be interactive with the show today, please feel free to let me know your thoughts, as long as they're positive. Thank you, and God bless. Okay, so today we have Judy Barlow with us. She's with the National Federation of Republican Women. And right before we went to break, we were going to talk about some things with the Trump administration that the Republicans are pleased with. And so, Judy, welcome back. And let's kind of talk about some of those wins that we've had for President Trump and the Republican Party so far.
That's great. You know, we talked about making America safe, strong, and prosperous again. And that's what President Trump ran on. And that was our Republican Party platform in the election. And to deliver that, we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill. Once President Trump was elected, we had the House and the Senate. We were able to start making some progress in getting legislation passed. And that was the One Big Beautiful Bill. And that delivered a whole lot of things for the nation and for Alabama. In particular, we looked at border and DHS-related funding that was secured. We secured the border. We got more money for Border Patrol, for ICE. For working parents and families, we secured historic wins. We got a child tax credit. We have the $1,000 Trump savings accounts for newborns. We achieved a child independent tax care credit. You also saw where the Democrats were going to come in and do a massive tax increase, you saw actually a tax decrease. You saw no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime. American energy is unleashed. We did more for manufacturing and for businesses. We delivered for Alabama farmers. We looked at the healthcare industry. Well, there were just a whole lot of things that happened. One of the things that we're working on right now is MAHA. making America healthy again.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Judy, for joining me today. You know, I was a little nervous about doing this. I've never hosted a show by myself before, so I'm so glad that you were my first sidekick on the show. Judy Barlow with the National Federation of Republican Women. We appreciate everything you've done, Judy. We really appreciate all the work that you've put in. We know it's been hours and days and weeks, really, of traveling all over the place and just really trying to educate voters.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for joining me.
We love what we do.
Awesome. And again, I'm going to remind you guys, please send us a text at the text line 251-343-0106. We have a show lined up today that's going to be amazing, including Pastor Travis Johnson from Pathway Church. Christina Warner McGinnis, you probably remember her. She ran for Ag Commissioner. She'll come in. We also have incoming Baldwin County Commissioner Tater Harris, John Tater Harris, with us. We'll talk about some of the recent headlines over in Baldwin County, including that the master plan that's a draft right now. They're considering this, but not everybody's super happy about it. So we'll kind of get into that a little bit. And then, Judy, we'll have your friend Melinda McGee from the Eastern Shore Republican Women stop by at the end of the show today. So we've got a whole lineup, and we're excited to have that. In the meantime, we're going to go to break right quick. But we definitely want to hear from you. And you know what? This is the thing that I want to hear about. So on the way here, when I was crossing the Mobile Bay, I saw a ladder on the causeway. So it got me to thinking, I really want to hear about some of the weird, strange, crazy things you guys have seen while driving on the causeway. I mean, Judy, have you seen anything wild and crazy?
Just bizarre things,
yeah,
yes.
So bizarre. But this was a full ladder, okay, like a big one, a nice one, probably very expensive. I'm sure a construction worker or somebody accidentally dropped that. I mean, it's nice too. And you want to say, I'll stop and get that, you know, but you can't
stop.
And
you'll get run over.
Yes, exactly. That's very dangerous, so don't do that. But text us 251-343-0106. Let me know some of the crazy things you've seen while driving over the causeway. I think that's a very interesting thing to hear about, and I will share some of your texts as we get them in too. Also, got to plug 1819news.com again. We are statewide. We are covering all the things in Alabama that you guys want to know about, but we also want to hear from you. You can email us news@1819news.com and let us know some of your story ideas, some of the things that are important to you, some of the things that you want us to cover. And we will definitely look into those things. You can also email me directly, erica.thomas@1819news.com. And you can find me on X at Erica T News. So again, text us 251-343-0106. Let me know some of the crazy things you've seen while driving down the causeway. I'm really curious.
They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make.
Amarillo by morning, up from San
Welcome back to the Jeff Forrest Show. I am Erica Thomas, editor-at-large at 1819 News, filling in for Jeff today, so sorry about that, but you're stuck with me for a few hours. And I want to remind you, too, if you're on the radio and you're heading into work, but you want to keep listening, you can do that on the website. It's fmtalk1065.com/listen. You can hear us all day. We have a bunch of great shows throughout the day. Sean Sullivan comes in for Midday Mobile. We also have the Paul Feinbaum show. So there's a lot of great things that you can listen to all throughout the day. We'll keep you entertained. And I guarantee you this show right here will keep you entertained today because, we are really just test firing this. I've enjoyed reading some of your texts, but right now I have on Pastor Travis Johnson. He is the pastor at Pathway Church in Mobile, but he's also really made a lot of national headlines over the years, and I'm so thankful to have him come in today and talk with me. Pastor Johnson, are you there?
I am. It's great to talk to you, Erica. Always great being on Jeff's show as well.
Yeah, well, you know, Jeff is out and about all over the place. He's on vacation, been gone for a week now, a little over a week. It's amazing what he has done. I always call him Father of the Year because he takes his oldest son all over the place. They've been going to baseball games, and you can keep up with them on his social media. It's really fun to watch. One of the things I look forward to every summer, to be honest, but I'm very thankful to have you with us because you've really paid a lot of attention to politics. We just got done talking to Judy Barlow with the National Federation of Republican Women, and I'm sure y'all have really looked at some of the same issues over the years. What have you been up to? I know you've had a lot going on the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, actually, I'm in Patriot Mobile right now. With a great group, Faith Wins, Glenn and Jenny Story, this great business out here that's, you know, very much engaged in, you know, Christian political engagement. So it's great being out here with some like-minded people. And I just came from, of course, the America 250 ALGOP dinner, which was phenomenal. And then right before that, I was with Eduardo Bolsonaro and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Wednesday. Not exactly what was on my bingo card when I was going to seminary, but here we are.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing to me. You're a pastor. You're very passionate. You've gone viral on Facebook and YouTube for some of the things that you said from the pulpit. But kind of tell us what inspired you to really get involved in politics, and why is that important to you as a pastor?
Well, see, Eric, I really didn't get involved in politics. I'm just pastoring my church. I wanted to preach. I wanted to baptize people, visit folks in the hospital, be with them on their high moments and their low moments, and just walk out this Christian life as a pastor, shepherd. But what I found out is if pastors and Christians, the people in general, don't get involved in politics, politics will get involved with them. And so that's what happened for me. I wasn't out looking to get involved. We just had a number of things. We had our county get involved with a baptism we were doing as pastoring in South Florida, actually, at the time. So my dad's side of the family is from Coleman, Addison, Huntsville area. And a lot of us are pastors. We just kind of been spread out all over the place. Anyway, I was doing a baptism there, and the park lifeguards and park officers shut down our baptism. And so I was not looking for the smoke, I guess you could say. But I realized that my First Amendment rights were being trampled on. And so Fox News called me up, and we had some religious liberty law firms, you know, one that you would recognize, contact me. They said, hey, would you please let us sue Miami-Dade County? They're our favorite people to sue. And, you know, Fox wanted to put us up. And I really, I just didn't want to be in the public eye. And so I just walked it out quietly in my county government. And then I was told that if we wanted to do baptisms at the beach, we had to be there before 5 a.m. And I'm type A enough that I was just not going to be told that, especially when our tax dollars pay for that park. We paid entrance for the park. We reserved the pavilion, and it was something that we did regularly. And so I told the director of the park there, or of parks and recreation for the whole county, you know, look, there's people chicken fighting in the water, splashing in the water. We're in the water. There are people that pray over their hamburgers at picnics. So what's the issue? I said, look, at the end of the day, this is the date of our next baptism. We'll be out there. And, you know, if you want to arrest us, then that would be unfortunate, but I'd tell everybody to get into the cop car. And so from that, I just got started getting radicalized a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by, you know, whatever plan it was that God had, you know, just little by little, that happened until I just realized that so much of the church and so many Christians had been gaslit into believing that they had to be silent about political issues in the pulpit or just in life in general. It's very impolite, apparently, to discuss religion and politics.
Yeah, they always say separation of church and state.
The sanctity of life is, the sanctity of life is not a political issue. Mm-hmm. You know, abortion is not a political issue. This is a moral theological issue. These come under the domain of the image of God. First couple chapters in Genesis. Same thing with gender identity, etc. And so, really, the church doesn't need to be quiet. We need to speak. Christians need to speak. And let me just say, I just want to say this for Mobile County, Mobile Bay. If family focused people, people of faith, and people who enjoy freedom will not speak up, we're going to have major problems. But Mobile is a people of faith, and we're family-focused people. And there are so many more of us than those who would want to tear down freedom and deconstruct identity. And so it's a real privilege to be pastoring 10 years in Mobile, mm-hmm. Pathway Church, one of the most amazing churches in the world, and then to have incredible people like Jeff Poor, Erica Thomas, and just a whole array of amazing people in our community.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so much for that. And I do understand, you know, when you're looking at family issues and things that matter, especially from a Christian perspective, we care about education, healthcare, religious liberty. We care about all those things. But also, the Bible encourages us to pray for our leaders. So while some people might say, you know, you got to have the separation of church and state, we're not talking about from the pulpit there. We need to seek the welfare of our community, not only through things that we do to help people as nonprofits or Christian organizations, but also through prayer and through paying attention. And a lot of people view voting itself as a stewardship. As God gave us this land, we need to be good stewards of it and protect it. And the way we can do that in America is by voting and exercising that responsibility.
Sure.
We have an election coming up next week, so it's important. And I've heard you from the pulpit because I've gone to Pathway. I've watched online. Actually, it's the one church that I watch every single week. I'm usually a week behind on your sermons because I don't always watch them live, but I always go and watch after. And I've heard you several times talk about, you know, if you're at a different church and your pastor isn't talking about what's going on in this world, you need to question that, you know. And we've had so many polarizing political issues going on that really matter to people who love Jesus. And so can you kind of talk about that, some of the things that you face from the pulpit that some pastors say are controversial, they're not going to touch that, but you're just not scared to do so?
Well, absolutely. And two things. When it comes to praying for our leaders, you know, Paul tells Timothy to do this in 1 Timothy 2. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been told that by people who were, you know, even in government, who objected to my engagement in politics as a way for me to be silenced, as in, you should be praying, Pastor. And then I have to remind them that in America, we have a constitutional republic. And while I do pray for our leaders, our elected leaders, in America, we're a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, which means I also pray for myself, and I pray for my people, I pray for you, that we will steward the greatest leadership, greatest civic leadership privilege and responsibility, which is to vote. And so my prayer is that we will vote for people who will say a thing and do a thing and guard the family, guard faith, guard freedom, guard our Constitution. And that's a no-brainer. But for whatever reason, a lot of Christians don't. And, you know, Erica, if Christians would vote, then this nonsense that we've seen, it would not be an issue. It wouldn't be an issue. And it's not even, you know, race, party, et cetera. You know, there are so many people of faith that really are just not engaged. and we need to be engaged. And so, you know, that's a really important piece to me. The other piece is, if pastors do not preach the full word of God, and we don't engage on the hard topics of the scripture or the controversial pieces of scripture, in the hour and a half that we get to spend with people on Sundays, our people will be discipled on TikTok, on Instagram, on social media, by Tucker, you know, by Candace, et cetera. It's not a great place to be. And so it's really important that pastors take their time and speak into things, because a lot of people are saying, hey, I'm dealing with this in my family, and my pastor doesn't say anything about it, and I don't know what to do. And so we really do need to step up and speak clearly about the scripture and all that it has to say. In fact, there is no domain in the world that does not belong to the Lord.
All right, well, we got to go to a quick break right quick, Pastor Johnson. But if you'll stay on the line, I'd love to talk to you further about your courage from the pulpit right when we get back.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. I'm Erica Thomas, editor-at-large with 1819 News, filling in for Jeff as he is traveling the nation with his young son. Amazing trip that they've had, but they're on the way back. Cannot wait for him to be back. I really appreciate you guys joining today. This is my first time ever filling in for the Jeff Poor Show, or any show for that matter, and I've really enjoyed it. We've gotten some wonderful texts. I asked the question, what's some crazy things you've seen while driving down the causeway? Because this morning on my way in, I saw a really nice ladder. I hope whoever owns it got it back. But we did get some responses on this. Backstrap Stacker said, when they were in high school, they ran over an 8-foot alligator in a Honda. That's crazy. That is crazy. I hope it was an SUV Honda. I mean, and I'm assuming the alligator was not okay. But hopefully the Honda was. I mean, they are pretty strong vehicles. I have a Honda. Anyways, we have today with us Pastor Travis Johnson from Pathway Church in Mobile. It's in Mobile, but also there's some campuses, other places. We'll talk about that in a minute. But right before we went to break, Pastor Johnson, I was talking about kind of the courage that you have to come out and say things that some pastors call controversial, but you call them a message from God.
Well, Erica, I think you're doing a great job on the show, by the way. This is really enjoyable with you. Here's what I would say. I don't think it's controversial to preach the truth of God's word. I think it's controversial when pastors step in the pulpits and censor what the Bible says and preach all around it, because it rounds off the scriptures, makes it a little more palatable to people who are actually in opposition to the scripture, which is everybody that doesn't know Jesus. And it takes away the opportunity from people to be saved. And so it's incumbent on pastors to preach, not just pastors, parents, moms and dads, kids whose, you know, families don't know Christ, anybody that loves Jesus and knows Jesus. It's the word of God that changes lives.
I'm going to ask one more time. Anybody who wants to text us, you can do so. It's 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. And we have Travis Johnson with us today. Pastor, I have been to a couple of your campuses. I've been at the one in Mobile. But can you tell our listeners about the other campuses? And it's not like a lot of the mega churches that you see elsewhere where they just play you on the screen. It's a little different at Pathway. Can you talk about that?
Well, here's what I say. We have campuses across Mobile Bay and on over into Memphis. And then we have other ministry. Actually, we have one campus in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. And, of course, I don't speak great Khmer. Our campus pastor, there's pretty incredible. And that's in a country where 98% of the country is Buddhist, and God has given us some really great work there. We've been involved for over two decades. And we have a number of churches there that are autonomous. They have names different than Pathway Church, but they're great gospel faithful churches. And the Lord's really been blessing. You know, I know I'm involved civically. I'm involved in our community and nationally. But one of the great loves of my life is to share the gospel globally. And, you know, there in Cambodia has been really wonderful. In fact, that might be the place that I really got involved in politics because of the work that we were doing. We had to do a lot of things through the government there, Kingdom of Cambodia. But we, in the last 14 months or so, we've done ribbon cuttings on seven churches and seven schools that we built. And every one of those, I mean, it's been a pretty extraordinary last 3 years. Every single one of those churches and schools are full. The church and school at Phuc, Cambodia, our pastor and headmaster was orphaned there in Phuc. And we took him through high school, took him through college, got him through his master's degree. He's one of our great leaders. And when they opened the school there earlier this year, they had 438 students on the first day. And so that, I think that's one of the things I love most. I know some people hear, you know, an outspoken pastor involved civically, but my heart is for people that know Jesus. I'm a soul-winning pastor. I believe that Jesus changes lives, and that's really the greatest thing in the world, to do all the awesome things that you can, but whatever you get, whatever you do, make sure you get Jesus.
Amen. Get Jesus. You know, I would say in my younger years, especially when I was in college at UAB, I was not as conservative as I am now, to say the least. I actually might have been borderline on the liberal, maybe. And I think that was due to my love for people. You know, I had a really tender heart. I was a young woman. I just loved people. I wanted everyone to be accepted. I don't know. I feel like a lot of us have gone through that, especially in our younger years. But then as we get older, we start learning about the Bible and some of the things that really matter and how these issues impact everyday life. And then we grow up, you know, we just grow up and we have to start doing things that are really important and that make a difference. And that's something that you do every single day, Pastor Johnson, and it's really appreciated. What do you have to say to the younger generation? I call it the Charlie Kirk generation, who may not have gotten to that point yet.
Well, you know, the saying is that if you're young and you're not a liberal, you have no heart. But if you're older and you're not a conservative, you have no brain. That might have been Reagan that said something along those lines. But one thing that I am noticing in Gen Z is there is a real move towards conservatism and especially to the Bible. Bible sales among Gen Z through the roof, especially with Gen Z young men. Our church is covered up and young men carrying Bibles. Our rows are full of Gen Z kids' Bible notebook, pen, highlighter. It's amazing. In fact, right now they're organizing what they call a Jericho walk around MGM High School in Sims, where for the first 7 days in the lead up to school, they're walking around the school with a prayer walk, asking that God would touch the students during this coming school year. And that's been going on now for several years. It's a long story, but God has really done this great work in Gen Z at Pathway Church. It's been so exciting to see. And I think what I've noticed is in a world where we're lacking face-to-face conversations and real talk, Gen Z is craving authentic conversation. And what I'll notice in Gen Z is when you preach the truth, then they're a little bit shocked, but then they've not heard people talk like that. And some of them are saved. And it's been a powerful thing to see. And some of the greatest, strongest Christians that we have in the church is in that Gen Z generation. It's pretty wonderful to see.
Wow, that is incredible. Yeah, I always say, you know, some of these generations that have been raised online, sometimes they don't even know how to act when they see people face to face, and it's almost taken out a lot of personality and real feelings for other people because you just see people as something on an electronic device. But thank you so much, Pastor Travis Johnson from Pathway Church, for joining us, and God bless.